This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wahdah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa la ummata ba'da ummatihi wa la kitaba ba'da kitabih wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'atih. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. يا ايها الذين امنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافه ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, I have recited an ayat of the Holy Quran in front of you, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O believers, enter into Islam wholeheartedly and completely. Enter into Islam wholeheartedly and completely. Sometimes you and I, we have the tendency to pick and choose with regard to Islam. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Allah Ta'ala says, do you accept part of the Kitab and do you reject part of the Holy Kitab? This is not fair to the greatness of Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You have to enter into Islam wholeheartedly. Islam is a complete way of life. It gives us guidance and teachings in every aspect of our life. It gives us guidance with regard to our ibadat. It gives us guidance with regard to our beliefs. It gives us guidance with regard to our financial dealings. It gives us guidance with regard to our akhlaq and our conduct and our character. And it gives us guidance with regard to our staying and interaction with one another. And all of that is part of Islam. Even things that you and I, we sometimes take as lightly, or we don't regard it as important, Islam has given us guidance with regard to that also. Someone came to Hazrat Salman al-Farsi, one non-Muslim, and he said, what type of religion you have that your Nabi teaches you even how to relieve yourself and go to the bathroom? So if it was us, you and I, we would have been perhaps overcome and overwhelmed by inferiority complex, and we would have said, no, it's not such an important part of our religion. Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu did not say so. He said, yes, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us even how to go and relieve ourselves. And then he enumerated the etiquettes that we are supposed to bring about when you and I, we go to the bathroom and we go and relieve ourselves. So this is Islam. Allah Ta'ala farmata hai ke Islam mein mukammal taur par dakhil ho jao. Islam ایک مکمل دستور حیات ہے. یہ عبادات، اخلاقیات، معاملات ہر چیز کے اوپر تعلیم دیتا ہے. یہاں تک کہ جن چیزوں کو ہم نہیں سمجھتے اس کے بارے میں بھی اللہ تعالیٰ اور نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی تعلیم ہے کہ کس طرح سے بیت الخلاء میں جانا، کس طرح سے کھانا پینا، سب کے بارے میں اسلام نے ہدایت اور تعلیم دی ہے. To give us the example of the comprehensiveness and the completeness of Islam, I normally give a small example. The example is, brothers, if you and I want to build up a beautiful house or a home or a building, or even let us take this masjid for example, where do you start off from? Where do you start off when you want to put up a beautiful structure or a beautiful masjid or a home? The first thing that you do is you make the foundation strong and you put up the pillars. Everyone who has seen or who has gone through a building will know that the first thing that you do is you put the foundation strong. The foundation must be strong. And many times you find that in a building, sometimes the ground is not stable. The ground is very wet, for example. You have to do piling. You have to do it, because without the foundation, that particular building will not be able to stand upon that building. If you put up a building without the foundation being strong, the building is going to collapse. So the first thing that you do in any building is you see to it that the foundations are strong. There's a beginning stages of any building, right? The beginning stages of any structure, the beginning stages of anything, that you put the foundations very strong. In our history, there was a very famous architect by the name of Sinan. Many of the very important buildings in Turkey, the Suleymaniye Masjid, the Edirne Masjid, right? All of that was, the architect behind it was Sinan. On one occasion, the Sultan and the ruler told him to put up a very important building. So he told the people to put up the foundation. Then after a while, he went away. So then people were now surprised. The ruler was very surprised and said, he told us to put up a, you know, foundation and he went away. Who's going to complete the building? Because no one knows about the building but him. He is the architect. And he came after a while and he said, I deliberately went away for some time because I wanted the foundation to set. This building is such that until the foundation doesn't set, you can't put up the building. Right? So this is, now when we look at Islam, the structure of Islam, the first thing that you have to do is to see that your foundations are strong, without which you will never be able to put up the structure of Islam. And what is our foundations? Buniyal Islam wa ala khams. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hadith, you and I, we have read it so many occasions. Islam rests upon five pillars. These are the foundations of Islam. If you want to start off and be serious about practicing Islam, the first thing that you have to do is to see that your foundations are strong. Your starting point, Buniya al-Islam wa ala khams, shahadati Allah ilaha illallah, to bear testimony on the oneness of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prophethood of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the establishment of salat, the giving of zakat, the fasting in the month of Ramadan, and to perform pilgrimage and hajj to Makkah Mukarramah, if Allah Ta'ala gives people the means. These are the pillars of Islam. If you want to start off, this is where we have to start off with regard to the practicing of Islam. Without which we cannot do anything greater, or we cannot start off anywhere but besides this. The pivot around which our entire deen revolves around is belief in the greatness, the power, the authority that Allah Ta'ala wields over the entire universe and over us. Everything, our whole deen revolves around the greatness of Almighty Allah. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَمَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى. To Allah Ta'ala belongs the power and authority in the earth and in the heavens. Whatever is between the earth and the heavens and what is in the crust of the earth. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَمَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى. To Allah belongs the power and authority of the heavens and earth, between the heavens and earth, and what is in the crust of the earth. Everything belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The power and authority is of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that knows everything. To sabse pehle jo cheez hai, Islam ko mukammal karne mein, sabse pehle hai ke bunyad ko sahih rakho. Aur bunyad kya cheez hai? Panch bunyad hai. Aapne hadith suni, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne kaha ke Islam panch cheezon ke upar unki bunyad hai. Shahadat, salat, zakat, hajj aur soome Ramadan. Sabse pehle agar kisi makan ko tamir karna ho to sabse pehle bunyad ko sahi aur mazboot kar rakho. Aur yahi cheeze hamari bunyad hai. Uske baghair Islam ke upar amal karna namumkin hai. So the first thing is this. Look at the greatness and the power of Almighty Allah, the knowledge of Allah. Sawa'un minkum man asarra al-qawl wa man jahara bihi. It is equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether you do something in private or whether you do something openly, whether you do something in broad daylight, wa huwa mustakhfin bil layli wa saribun min nahar, or whether you do it in broad daylight, Allah is aware of it. Ya'lamu khayinat al-ayun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the treachery of your eyes. Sometimes a person looks at you, you don't know what intention he is looking at you. Allah knows what intention you are looking at something. وَمَا تُخْفِ السُّدُورِ. Allah knows what your heart conceals. Before you even can make mention of it, your intention, Allah knows why you are doing any particular action. Allah, the first thing is for us to understand. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. He has full control over his bondsmen. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. He is all-knowing and he is full of wisdom. To show you a small example of his power and authority over you. إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّتُونَ. When the time of your death comes, Allah sends a messenger. What is that messenger? Malikul Maut. That messenger, لَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّتُونَ. Never go against the commands of Allah. Today we find the politicians say something, the bureaucrats do something else. The employer says something, the employee does do something else. We are all the time complaining about the people, they don't follow commands. Allah says, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. The angels never go against the commands of Allah. They only do what Allah commands them. Malikul Maut is told to take your life at a particular junction. إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. When your time comes for death, it is not brought forward a moment, it is not delayed a moment. And if whether you are ready to go or not, whether you want to go or not, whether you want to leave this world or not, when your time of death comes, you have to leave. What does it show you? You don't have control over your life. The destiny of your life is not in your hands. It's in the hands of Allah. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ. He has full control over his bondsman, over his creation. This is a small example. And therefore, because of this, Islam has taught us, turn towards Almighty Allah. اُذْكُرُ اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. Remember Allah Ta'ala in abundance. When Allah has such control over you, it does not behoove you that you can live a life in disobedience to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You cannot be rebellious towards Almighty Allah. When Allah has such power and control over you and the entire universe, you have to obey Allah Ta'ala for your najat, for your salvation. So this is, and turn towards Almighty Allah in everything, in every matter. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, even if your shoelaces break, ask Allah. Because if Allah Ta'ala takes away the control, you won't be able to go down to even tie your laces. I give an example. There was a very, you know, a wealthy person in America, and I read somewhere about him. It was most likely Harry Ford or something like that. Multi-billionaire. Towards the end of his life, the muscles of his eyelids failed him. So he couldn't keep his eyes open. So to keep his eyes open, he had to put a small wood, like a matchstick here, to keep his eyes open. You and I, we blink every 6 seconds or every 8 seconds. Do you ever think about it? This happened because of Allah Ta'ala. So even if a shoelace breaks, turn towards Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Nothing is big for Allah, nothing is small for us. Ask Allah for everything. Nothing is small for us. Nothing is big for Allah. Ask Allah for even the greatest of things. And nothing is small for us. If Allah Ta'ala were to take away the thing that you and I take for granted, or even going to relieve ourselves, what will happen to us? We all know what will happen to us. The difficulty we will undergo through. So a person one day, he couldn't pass urine. So he went to the urologist. The urologist, you know, put a catheter. So after the catheter, the doctor sent a bill. And the bill was a very hefty bill. And normally we know that, no. So when he saw the bill, he started crying. Nowadays, if you see the bill of the doctor, you might cry also. So he started crying. So the doctor said, why are you crying? You are a very old patient of mine. Pay whenever you want. And if you can't pay, it's also okay. So he said, doctor, I'm not crying because I can't pay the bill. Allah has given me wealth. I'm crying that for so many years I went to relieve myself. Allah never sent me a bill. One day I couldn't do it. You sent me such a hefty bill. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when on his deathbed, every now and then he said, let me go and perform salat. People said, you are sick, you are wounded. He said, inna ahamma umuri indakum as-salat. The most important thing in our deen is salat. فَمَنْ ذَيَّعَهَا فَهُوَ لِمَا سِوَاهَا أَدْيَا. Whoever wastes salat, whoever does not perform his salat, he will not be able to perform any other matters of deen. He can't be serious. In awwalu ma yuhasibu bihi al-'abdu yawm al-qiyamati as-salat. The first thing Allah will question you on the day of Qiyamah will be your salat. If that is found to be successful, then it is hoped that other matters of following deen will also be successful. But if that is fail, you fail the first hurdle, you are more likely to fail the other hurdles also. Brothers, the first thing when we perform and we do any structure is we see that the foundation is strong. This is our foundation. Iman in Allah, Iman in our Rasul, and love for Allah and His Rasul, and to see that our basic practices are done. But after that, what happens? After you have done your foundation, have you ever seen a structure? Have you ever seen a building? People only put the foundation and they leave it. What will you say about such a building? You will say it's incomplete. It's not nice. You need the foundation. Without the foundation, this whole thing will come crumbling down. But after the foundation, what do? You put up the building. You put up the beautiful windows. You put up the beautiful musallas. You put up the beautiful painting. Look at the beautiful architecture. Look at the beautiful painting. Look at the names of Allah Ta'ala. This has given beauty to this building. After you have put the foundation of Islam, then what do? You put the beauty of Islam. Then you put the beauty of Islam lies in two things. Our financial dealings and our conduct. Just as this is the beauty of the building, the beauty of Islam is in our financial dealings and in our good conduct that we display to one another. Without which there is no beauty of Islam. Brother, your ibadat you need, the foundation you need. But people don't decide the beauty of a building by the foundation. Ever saw someone coming to a masjid and said, "What a beautiful masjid you got. The foundations are very nice." Huh? They'll say, "What a beautiful masjid you got. Look at how nice the architecture is. The musallas are so nice. Look at what a beautiful, the 99 names of Allah Ta'ala you have engraved. So beautiful." That makes the beauty of a building. Your ibadat is between you and Allah. You need it. Without which, your iman will come crumbling down. The building will come crumbling down. But the beauty, my dear respected brothers, is how do you interact and how do you transact with people? The longest ayat in the Holy Quran is not about salat, zakat, roza, hajj. The longest verse in the Holy Quran is about financial dealings. إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّنْ فَكْتُبُوا. سب سے پہلے جو ہم کرتے ہیں اسلام کو مکمل کرنے کے لئے اپنے بنیاد ڈالتے ہیں. لیکن بنیاد سے جو ہے نا وہ مکان پورا نہیں ہوتا. مکان کی زینت کس چیز میں ہے؟ مکان کی زینت جو ہے نا وہ ٹائلنگ میں ہے, روغن میں ہے, پینٹنگ وغیرہ میں ہے. اسی طرح ہمارے دین کے جو مکان ہے, دین کے جو مکان ہے اس کی زینت کس چیز میں ہے؟ معاملات کی درستگی میں ہے اور اخلاق کی درستگی میں ہے. ان چیزوں میں اخلاق اور ان چیزوں میں زینت ہے دین کا. The longest آیت in the Quran was saying is about financial dealings. When you give someone a loan, put a witness to it. Put two witnesses. Write down the transaction. Write down the how much you are paying him, how much you have given him a loan, when will he pay it back. Have two witnesses. Different types of scenarios in that. One ayat over one page to do with financial dealings. Allah destroyed a nation in the past because they were not honest in their business dealings. وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَا أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. To Madian we sent Shu'aib. And Allah, he told unto them, what did he tell them? اِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنَا إِلَىٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. First, the bunyad, the foundation. Worship no one besides Allah. وَلَا تَنْقُصُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانِ. And don't weigh less. And don't measure less by mischief. Don't be dishonest in your business dealings. Do you know what did they reply? They reply, and sometimes it makes me worried, that they reply, you and I, we have a similar type of understanding and sometimes feeling. They said, Ya Shu'aib, as-salatuka ta'muruka an natruka ma ya'budu abauna aw an naf'ala fi amwalina ma nasha. Oh Shu'aib, does your deen teach us what we must do with our wealth? Our wealth, we will deal with it how we want. You and I, we say, my business, I will deal with it how I want. I must make business the way I want. Don't come tell me interest is haram. Don't come tell me this is haram. I must look at profit no matter how I earn the profit. By that particular understanding, that view is the view of a nation Allah destroyed. It's not the nation of a believer. We believe wealth has been given to us by Allah and we are going to be accountable to Allah for it. Two of the questions out of the five questions Allah will ask us on the day of Qiyamah will be to do with wealth. How did you earn your wealth? How did you spend your wealth? Allah will ask you about it. Did you earn it halal? Did you spend it halal? Where do we get this particular notion, my wealth I can earn with it the way I want and I can spend about it the way I want? And the way we deal with that, people will come to know the beauty of Islam by our honesty when we deal with them. That's one. And the next particular portion with regard to the beauty of Islam is our conduct. Brothers, you and I, good conduct, we take it for granted. We never ever regard it as part of deen. But do you know what the value of it is? إِنَّ أَثْقَلَ شَيْءٍ يُرْفَعُ فِي مِيزَانِ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ خُلُقٌ حَسَنٌ. The weightiest thing that Allah will weigh on the day of Qiyamah in your scale of good deeds will be good conduct. More than salat, zakat, anything else, the weightiest thing will be how you conduct yourself with one another. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was asked, what is good conduct? So he gave three answers. To meet people with a smiling face. Smiling costs nothing, but people can't smile. Sahaba said, we never saw anyone more smiling than Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can't smile to one another. Secondly, be a well-wisher of every human being. Wish him well. Har ek ke saath khair khwahi karo. Husn e akhlaq kya hai? Logo ke saath khanda peshani ke saath pesh aana. Har ek ke liye khair khwahi. Aur dusro ko takleef se bachana. And the third thing is, stay away from harming people. This is good conduct. And what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? The weightiest thing to be weighed on the scale of our good deeds. إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ لِيُدْرِكَ بِحُسْنِ خُلْقِهِ دَرَجَةَ قَائِمِ اللَّيْلِ وَسَائِمِ النَّهَارِ. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a mu'min through the means of good conduct, he earns the same reward of a person who makes tahajjud whole night. And he earns the same reward as the one who keeps fast every day in which is permissible to keep fast. And someone reads tahajjud namaz every day, we'll say, very, very pious person. Bahut nek aadmi hai. But anyone has good conduct, did we ever say he's good? Did we ever say he's pious? But in the words of the hadith, he gets the same reward as someone who makes tahajjud all night. Hum kabhi iske upar khayal hi nahi karte. We ever never even regard it to be part of deen. Ya Allah, such important things. And without this akhlaq, my dear respected brothers, there is a warning and there is a fear that even our ibadat will become wiped away if our akhlaq is not good. Let me give an example and I will conclude with this. Sahaba came one day to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, in our neighborhood there is a woman who makes a lot of nafil ibadat, tahajjud and all, everything. But her conduct with people is not good. She swears people, she abuses people, she fights with people. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if she remains like this, she will go to Jahannam. Despite her nafil ibadat. Ya Rasulullah, in our neighborhood there is a woman, she only reads her faraz. She don't read nafil not. But Ya Rasulullah, she is good with everyone. Everyone in the neighborhood, you know, with whom she is supposed to keep relationship, everyone is happy with her. She's all the time friendly. Oh my Sahaba, if she remains the way she is, she will go to Jannah. And understand this technical point. Just understand what I'm saying. Ulama from this have written that the shortcomings in ibadat can be made up with good conduct. The shortcomings in akhlaq and good conduct cannot be made up by more ibadat. If you don't treat people kindly, you can't go and make more ibadat and make up that. But sometimes if you don't make nafil ibadat, you can make it up with good akhlaq. This incident teaches us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known for his good conduct. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin al-Mawsoof bi afzalil akhlaq. Salam be awan, the one who had the greatest akhlaq. And that now completes the building. Udkhulu fi silmi kafa. That will give the beautiful presentation of Islam. The foundations are strong. The everything is beautiful. The painting is beautiful. The tiling is beautiful. The carpet is beautiful. And that gives a beautiful structure and of the entire building. And this will give us the beautiful structure of Islam. Our foundations are correct, our akhlaq is correct, our muamalat is correct, then we will be amongst those who practice upon the ayat, enter into Islam in completion and wholeheartedly. Will we all, my dear respected brothers, in conclusion, will we all take an oath and say, inshallah, We will all practice upon Islam in its entirety, inshallah. Inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.